Good morning, greet you all in Jesus' name. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. It's a wonderful blessing and a privilege we have to be able to set the cares of the week aside and to focus on the Word of God. Something probably many of us take for granted. It's been always this way. We just grew up and we did it this way, and now we have another opportunity to have our hearts turned to God. I really appreciate the service so far. The last song we sang, Let There Be Light, I believe, has given into what I would like to look at this morning. This morning we'd like to look at the subject of kindness, something that needs to be an everyday expression of our life. It's something that I believe is needed in the world around us. And is our life one that reflects that true kindness that God has given us? This week you have an opportunity to express that again. I don't know how many community children come through, but that song we sang, Let There Be Light, just has lots of expressions. We might say it's love, but if you love something, you're kind to them. And verse 3 talked about, we sang, to see our brothers good or our own. And yeah, there's many different phrases that expressed, you might say love, but the kindness that we would like to look at this morning, really it's because of God's goodness and kindness to us, His love to us, that we are here this morning. Kindness is simply mean of sympathy, forbearing, or a pleasant nature, a friendly attitude towards others. And this is something that we have to put on. This is not something that we all have when we're born. We're born with a very selfish nature, we're here to preserve this person right here. And kindness is something that needs to be exercised. And the sooner our parents have taught us this, or have endeavored to teach us this, and those that our parents here this morning are endeavoring to do the same thing, to condition our little ones and teach them this quality of kindness. It don't take long till a child grows up to see if that seed is still wasn't taught. We hear so much in the community, in the world we live in, about bullies in school and children in the neighborhood who are, yeah, we call them bullies. What happened? What went wrong? Wasn't those little seeds sown at a young age? We're not here to answer all those questions. We're here to look at our own heart this morning. And as I studied for this, I realized my own need to be more freely expressing this, you might say, attribute. This morning we were all, like I said, recipients of God's kindness and love towards us. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23, we know Lamentations was kind of a dark time for the children of Israel. Israel had just been destroyed and carried captive into Babylon. People were killed, tortured. And Jeremiah wrote these verses. And again, he was looking beyond what he was experiencing at that point. This I recall to my mind, therefore, and have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The mercies of God. How many of us would be here this morning if it weren't be for the mercies of God? He extended it freely to each one of us, to every nation, every human being on the earth. His mercies are reaching. But He might be only reaching them through you. He's touching other people's lives through us, as we live for God and keep Him first, like Jeremiah did. He had something beyond the present circumstances. He had something that was out of this world, and he proclaimed that. This morning, do you deserve God's mercy? Do you deserve God's kindness? The one who knows our very thoughts and what's in our heart. He knows our heart is bent on ourselves at times, but He still extends it. This morning we were all recipients of kindness this morning. I don't see anyone here who ain't dressed up, doesn't look pleasant. You know what? It's because of other people's deeds. Acts of kindness, our wife, our mother, our father helped us get ready this morning. I didn't have to fear that I was going to have dirty clothes to put on. It's just something I take for granted. It's, again, acts of kindness. There's people in this world who are poor and have nothing. And they need us to help them. They need to see our acts of kindness expressed to them. I don't see no one here malnourished this morning. And another simple act of kindness is when I look back and see a smile every once in a while. You know what? It's an expression of something that's within you. The thing of cheerfulness comes from a kind heart. It don't take long to you go into a local business here and you're going to find someone who's bent out of shape at the world, at everything. And it might take your smile to find out what's inside. That smile shows that you care, that you have an interest. So we have these opportunities every day. And we as humans so often remember all the kind deeds we did, how we expressed it to the folks maybe in town, or how we helped that beggar on the street. You know, it was a kind deed or an act of kindness. And somehow we tend to, in our own mind, put a little check mark there. You know, the next time we see him, oh yeah, I did. Last week I gave him something. But what about our wife, our children, our husband, our neighbors? What is their definition of us? Is it the same expression that the beggar seen? Is our tone of voice as caring? This is where the real test comes. Because after all, we are teaching another generation by our expressions of this act of kindness. Do we have that clear testimony? The same one Jeremiah had in difficult times, that he said, but because of God's mercies and goodness. We might say some people are more gifted with this nature or characteristic. Our sisters tend to have more of a caring and kind heart than some of us men. But that's no excuse for us. It's something that we still have to practice. It still has to be a part of our life, no matter what the facts are. Because in ourselves, we are unbalanced. I ain't always right in my thinking, and I ain't always right with my actions. And as our spouse, as our children, help us to see that. How is my response? Is it one of accepting their view of it and their aspect of expressing how they see us? And as we blend this, as we blend these expressions and our personalities and our sharing and our giving, we receive something that money don't buy. And I believe that's what the Bible we have is full of expressions of this, these deeds. We as parents need to realize that our children don't only pick up on our good habits, but they excel in the things we justify in our life. These acts of kindness and the things they see us through clear windows. They know what I really like. They know who I really am. And they will bloom in those weak spots. It's always these little things that build character, not the big splendid deeds, helping the poor beggar on the street. Those aren't the ones that build character. It's just these little things in life, these little seeds we plant that bring forth fruit. And it don't take long for this very little, these acts of kindness, these tests that come in small ways. And so often we think they're so insignificant, but they can be so, they can destroy so much in so short of a time. Like I said, these come in everyday shoe leather. Things go wrong. How is my response? Just here the other week, last summer, I bought an air raft. We have a little creek close to our place and we like to go rafting or tubing, and we figure, well, if I get a big enough one, we'll all be able to go together. So we got this raft and we enjoyed it. We had it a few times. We went this spring, and when we got back, it was in the van, so I decided to stretch it out in the grass and let it dry out. Well, it sat there for probably a day drying out, and I told the children they're supposed to mow the yard. And when I went to work, I said, should I make mention about maybe you should move the raft, like, so the mower blades don't hit it? Well, I came home from work that afternoon and I seen the raft in the yard. It wasn't at the same place, but it was on the other side. And it was flat. I knew what happened. I failed that test that day. Well, I should say, I thought I knew what happened. You know, we'll mow as close as possible, and yeah, we're doing all right. And before long, there was a hole in the side of the raft, about yay big. And right away, Dad thought it was the girls that did it. So I started telling him how it should have been done, and needless to say, I was wrong. As I put the pieces together and listened to him, and Dad had to come off of his know-it-all position and blame the dog. The innocent puppy likes to chew on things. He didn't know he did anything wrong. Kindness. I had to make that right. I had to tell him I was sorry. But so often I could have justified, or we as humans want to justify our thinking because we thought we knew how things were and we were wrong. And our expressions that come pouring out from within us are wrong. But these tests come again, like I said, they come in such small ways. They're humiliating. But if we make them right, we can go on. And that's what we need to endeavor to do, because we need to endeavor to heal and continue on. Also at our house, we enjoy, maybe I shouldn't say we, I enjoy teasing. Oh, we have a, what goes around comes around, you might say. But we try to teach our children, you know what, as long as everyone's enjoying it. We need to be sensitive to other people's walk of the day. Each one of us has those days when we're maybe not emotionally, or how might you say, just, it might not be a good day. We need to be sensitive to, we try to teach our children, as long as someone's not getting hurt by it, or, for instance, you work outside in the cold, your children are in the house all warm, and I enjoy letting them know how cold I am. So you come put your hands on them. Nice and nice cold hands on their warm neck or wherever. They get a reaction, but depends what where they're at in the day. It might not be the time to do that. Let's say they're taking a nap. Would that be kind to go put it on a napping child? No. So we need to respect where other people are. Kindness. But as we as parents, as they, our children observe our life, how we live and how we act, they're catching on. And what we often plant, what we sow, we reap. So each of us, again, like I said, we all have opportunities every day to express this. And most of these expressions are effort, take very little effort. And they cost us nothing. It may come as being a little patient. It may be as simple as a smile. It may be us dads tend to, you know what, we have to go to work, we come home and then we have to go away and we have to meet this person, the phone rings in between that. But our children might want to talk to you. It's that listening ear. It's that helping hand. Expressions of kindness to these little ones make a huge impact on their life 10, 20 years from there. Again, we need to teach it in our homes if we want to affect the community and the world around us. Like I said, children are talented at a young age to know how to take care of this person. We all enjoy watching children. I used to really like watching them until I see my own nature coming out in the ones that follow me. But they can look so caring and so considerate in helping their sibling only to get something more in return. They might talk up a toy that's, oh, you want this chopper? Look at this, it got all kinds of the head on and... But they really want the combine. And they talk the younger brother into taking the chopper so he can have the combine. That nature has to be taught different. We need to see the betterance of others rather than our own. We sang that in the song, making our brothers good our own. How is it expressed in my life, Dad? As they see us do business transactions. As they see us working with the community, do they see the betterance of others better than myself? Or does Pop try to butter up what he has to get something in better in return? Again, like you said, we wish this would stop at childhood. Colossians 3 is a chapter of the Bible there in the New Testament. It's principles of Christian living. This morning, turn to Colossians 3 there. No one can force you to live by this standard. This is something that you have to take personally on your life. This morning, by nature, we are kind to ourselves. And it takes the kindness of someone else to help me teach me this way. And this morning, if we repeatedly put off kindness, if I repeatedly make conscious effort not to be kind, it will lead to bitterness. It will lead to impatience. It will lead to jealousy. And it will give to an unthankful spirit, which in turn leads us to separation and sin. It's a complete downhill slide if we expect to make a difference in other people's lives by being selfish and unkind. We need to be kind. Scripture is full of verses of kindness. There's many acts of kindness in the Scripture. We would like to look at a few of them this morning. We'll turn back here to Colossians in a little bit again later on. But first of all, we'd like to look at an extraordinary act of kindness. There in Acts 28, we know here Paul was on that ship this morning. We heard about Paul's journey and how he lived his Christian life. And here he was on a ship as a prisoner out at sea with, 266 other foreign prisoners. And they were stranded. They were, I guess there was no wind. It was still. They were, and then a storm came up and they start tossing things out of the ship. They didn't eat for numerous days. And it came to the point where they finally made it to land. And the only way they got to land is those that couldn't swim had to float with other parts of the boat. So as they came to shore, all they had was their wet self. They had no food. They had no tackle. They had no ship. They were hungry. And they needed everything. And as these people here, there in Acts, took them, made a fire. I don't know how it was in those days from country to country. If there was, I don't know if language barrier was a problem. But it says in verse 2 that the barbarous people showed us no little act of kindness. They took a lot on themselves to make food for 266 people. There ain't that many here this morning. I didn't look at the attendance. And they stayed here, I think, for 3 months. So they had no clothes. So they provided their clothes. They provided food. They gave them a place to live. For what kind of money? What was their payback? And we look at this passage and say, well, it was all part of God's way of spreading the gospel. But he was using common, ordinary people in everyday circumstances. And these foreigners come into their life. I don't know if you have immigrants up here or how you feel about them. But there are some parts of the world that it's a burden. They're at Sunshine. They're in New Mexico right now. They're experiencing these immigrants coming through. And the Sunshine congregation has took on themselves to provide. It's kind of a complicated, I can't remember the word to use. Talk about political unrest in Mexico and being there's political unrest there. They're coming across and they can use that as a handle to come into America. And within so many days, they have to have a sponsor or someone else where they're have a destination in place in America, and then you have that court hearing within so many weeks. But as they come across, they have nothing. And the Sunshine congregation has took on themselves to make a lunch. After they leave the Deming area, it's only one town there that I think it's pretty much along the border there that they're facing this. But Sunshine congregation has took on themselves that when they leave the facility in the town, that they get a lunch, have a packed lunch and some Christian literature. Because you never know. They'll probably never see these people again. Acts of kindness. Sowing a seed. These people, I don't know if anyone there knows Spanish. But we cannot let language barriers hinder us. And they're doing their part to do this. But this, in this passage here, these people, I don't know if it was difficult to communicate, but their needs were met. And they were remembered. We're remembering this. How many thousand years later, we look at that passage and say, ain't it amazing how God used individuals, people with not pleasant circumstances to build his kingdom. But he's building his kingdom here today. In 2019, here in New York, he's looking for people to show acts of kindness and spread his word. And this is conveyed to our children as they see us doing these. We don't talk about different cultures, about different religious groups, about mental or physical differences in other people's. We don't talk them down. We don't hold ourselves up. We don't mock. We have a heart of care and love as we talk to these individuals. This is how these acts of kindness to the next generation will be planted. Another aspect of kindness, it needs to be acquired. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. When we put something on, we put an effort forth. We all are dressed this morning. It took an effort to do that. We just didn't crawl out of bed and there we were. Kindness here in this verse says it's something that you will personally have to put on. How are we teaching? How is my expressions? We all know the saying, more is caught than taught. And I believe this is evident to the community around us as they observe our families. Whether you go out to eat, whether you go shopping, how we communicate to our children. You know, the world sees that you have something that they don't have. And praise the Lord, because as they look into our lives and observe our life, they see something beyond, something within us that shines. Kindness needs to be developed. Proverbs 31:26. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Like I said earlier, sometimes sisters seem to have more of this caring heart. It's more their nature. And I believe we can take this, that word she out and put he in, and it still applies to us today. We're not doing injustice to Scripture there. Development. Kindness needs developed. Developed is to make more available or usable. How available is it? How available are we making it? What is wisdom? It talks about wisdom in that verse. It is that accumulation of knowledge and insight and judgment that we have. How do we receive that? It was through time and experience. Again, you as a father and a mother have more time and experience than your children. How are we letting those experiences affect our life? Are they? Can we look at them as stepping stones, and speaking good about them? This morning, if you sat in the adult class, you have insight that the youth class don't have, because you were here longer than they were. You had more experiences of life. We like to say, young people, listen. But maybe sometimes we got to say, dads, listen. We got to think what our actions are doing and how we're shaping these little lives. What comes out of my mouth when the frustrations are high? Is it kind words? Are they helping others appreciate their circumstances? Is it helping them grow into Colossians 3? Are they developing kindness? Kindness is also divine. Nehemiah 9. And refused, let's start at 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto my commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsakest them not. That's what God did to you and I this morning. We can look at the children of Israel and look at all their faults and all their failures and how wrong they were so often. But they were human as you and I this morning. The same God that was alive then is alive today. If a book were wrote about my life and about your life, how much different would it be? Could it be said that His mercies were extended to me? Absolutely. There's many other sins that were listed there that we could put behind our name. This morning, we don't have, as Mennonites, don't have some kind of special favor with God because of who we are. God's offer of salvation is for all. Acts 10. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of the truth I have perceived that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Is that how your neighbors feel as you talk to them? Is that how the business in town feels like when you come in? You know what? You're endeavoring to build the kingdom of God. Yes, we want people to come to church, but we don't want them to become a Mennonite. We want them to become a child of God. How do I respond to this divine power? Am I making it available to those around me that it can make a difference in their life? Also, we like to look at God's kindness and how it's described. How easy is it for you to wrap your mind around God's kindness? Because it's all. It's everything. It's complete. In Nehemiah 9:17, it said it's great. When you think of something great, what do you think of? It's exceeding more than can be expected. Great is also full. It's complete. It's everything. Great is also plenteous. It's more than enough. And that's how God's kindness is to us. We can't wrap our mind around how much God has in store for us this morning. But He's waiting for us to live our lives the way we should in order He can continue to dump it into us and fill us up. Isaiah 54, verse 8, God's kindness is referred to everlasting kindness. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Everlasting kindness. Everlasting. That's outside of timelines. As human minds can't go past the Garden of Eden. Our minds don't go that far. It starts at time. And when eternity, our mind bumps up against a timeline when we think of eternity. We're time-oriented people, but God says, "I will love you with everlasting kindness." It's no timeline. It's an eternity of kindness. It's not the kind of kindness that lasts as long as you think the way I think. We'll get along as long as we think the same. That's not everlasting. God is looking for expressions to others through us, expressing this everlasting kindness. Isaiah 54, verse 10. It's not removable. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." We all love and need solid, secure things in life. We love stability. But how stable would it be if I designed it, if this kindness that we're looking at, if I would have made the parameters for it, how stable would it be? But here we see God designed it. If it was made of man, it will fail. It will fall short. It will let you down. But God even tells us that if He created it, in these verses, He said, if I created it, it's going to change. He's talked about the mountains being removed. We can't imagine of a mountain being moved. Yes, there's been volcanoes where the entire tops of the mountain have disappeared, and we marvel at God's greatness, how He can do that. But God created it, and He said it's unstable. The mountains are unstable. The things He created is unstable. But His kindness won't ever move. And this morning we got to wrap our life and mind around that, on God's kindness, and it will never let us down. And as we depend our life, as we build our life on that, we won't let those around us down, because we're anchored in the same thing Jeremiah was anchored in. He wasn't going to be let those terrible times of captivity and defeat. Yes, we know that those were dark days, and we know Jeremiah had his time, but he was focused on God and His goodness, and remained a prophet of the Lord Jesus. Psalms 31:21 is another aspect of God's kindness. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath shown me His marvelous kindness. When I think of marvelous kindness, I think of that expression we hear so often we use when we see something really great. We say, wow. And that's a kindness God expresses. Do we marvel at it? Do we see God's love manifested towards us? As we see here, God's love was manifested. As we faithfully love and serve Him, His kindness is obvious and understood. We don't have to worry about going through life, why, you might say, cautiously, and am I in God's will? Or if we're living right life, it is obvious that we have God's stamp of approval, and His love and mercy is poured out on us. And we can have victory, and we can have that hope which only He can give. Even in the midst of trials, we often, when we're going through tests and trials, we're short-sighted. We see the pain, we feel the grief, we don't understand everything, and love may be seen distant at those times. But we need to put that hope and trust in God, that anchor that He hasn't left us down. He will always be there. He will never fail us. He will never leave us. We have these promises we need to hang on to. And maybe in this life we won't always understand everything, but there's an eternity ahead as we remain faithful, that He will pour that out on us, His kindness, throughout all eternity. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 7, is another aspect of God's kindness to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come that He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Again, the most precious gift we have is the blood of Jesus. And out of God's heart of love, His expression of kindness, He offered it to us. He gave it to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The gift of salvation is our only hope this morning. And it's a gift. It's not something we have to accept. It's a choice that we all have to make to accept. Titus 3. Four through eight. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men hath appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou confirm constantly, that they which hath believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Again, we see God's kindness is a source of our salvation. It ain't nothing we did. We can't hold ourselves up by our own good works. We can't remember all the deeds we've done that are good and expect it to make us a better people. We have to reach out to the gift that God gave us and accept it and have it change our life from within to make us different. We all were in the verses prior there, in verse 3 there in Titus. That's where we lived at one time. It talks about many sins there that are gross, they're ugly, they're all around us. But as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we put something on different than what's in those verses. It was God's gift that changed us. Again, as you leave these doors today, as you have opportunity this week to minister to the community children, as we go through this week and minister to the needs of our own children and our own homes, we need to express it out of a true heart. Our children see if we're putting it on or if it's actually our own, if it's ourselves. So as you go through summer Bible school, you are the Bible the world is reading. So our actions need to be out of the heart to those around us. And God bless you this week as you surround your life with God's kindness. And don't let nothing come between you and Jesus. And as you do that this week, it'll be that true light. So let's remember that this is something that we need to put on. We don't have it within ourselves. And as you apply, pour your life into God's word, you will be a different people, a different person. Let's kneel for prayer.